I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, after Trump threatened to make NATO escort the ships through, pointing out to the world, hey, look, America doesn't really need the Strait of Hormuz. We don't really care. We're self-sufficient, unlike you Euro-weenies. Why don't you escort your own dang ships through without our help? See, the first offer was, hey, we'll help. We'll protect you while you protect your ships because you're incapable of protecting yourself. They're like children. When they turned their Euro-weenie noses up at that, Trump said, fine, NATO can do it. Without our help, good luck. And Mark Rutte, the head of NATO, and he gets along pretty well with Trump, as you pointed out earlier. Mark Rutte's like, well, hey, whoa, hold on there. Whoa, Nelly. Wait, no, wait a minute. Wait, no, we didn't mean us do it. And all of a sudden he says, and it's going to be interesting to see who these people are. All of a sudden Mark Rutte says, you know, we really love what you're doing in Iran. We think it's great. It's what we've wanted all along. Oh, and by the way, we might help after all. How about that? It was so funny how this came just hours after Trump saying, you know, forget you guys, do it yourself. Escort your own stupid ships. We need, you know, you need us more than we need you.
When it comes to Iran and the risk of Iran getting its hands on a nuclear capability or a ballistic missile capability, we have consistently said as NATO collectively that that cannot happen. So it is really crucial that that capability of the ballistic missiles, of the nuclear capability, is severely degraded. When it comes to the Strait of Hormuz, I've been in contact with many allies.
Hold on, right there.
We all agree, of course, that Strait has to.
Yeah. Okay. So that, Lee, right there, that is a imprimatur. That is a mark of approval from the head of NATO.
Well, pretty much, yeah. Because the problem with NATO and everybody else around the world apparently is they all say they don't want Iran to have nuclear weapons or ballistic missiles, but they don't do anything about it. And in fact, they already had the ballistic missiles and had them for some time.
So that was the beginning of it, him coming out saying, yes, you did the right thing. This is what we've always said we wanted. You went ahead and did it. We agree. Iran can't have nuclear missiles. They can't have ballistic missiles. Thank you. Now we just get the Democrats to say that. He continued with, about that part about us escorting our own ships. Yeah, about that. You know, now that we're thinking about it.
The ballistic missiles of the nuclear capability is severely degraded. When it comes to the Strait of Hormuz, I have been in contact with many allies. We all agree, of course, that Strait has to open up again. And what I know is that allies are working together, discussing how to do that. What is the best way to do it? They are working on that collectively to find a way forward.
Hey, are you now?
Yeah.
Because they all just went on record saying, no, they weren't going to do a thing. Trump could just escort their ships.
Well, when we start seeing some of those countries' navies headed to the area, then we'll know that something is being done. And until that happens, nothing's being done.
I'm just amazed every day, Lee, at something new where the U.S. has had all these levers of power in the world.
Yes.
We've never used them.
Yes.
Because we use them, we got run slap. We don't use them. Excuse me. We got run slap over. And then you get all these articles, all these news reports. Well, America's a declining superpower. Nothing we can do. Oh, look at the rise of China. There they go. Nothing we can do.
And the liberal progressives are praised for their, you know, cooperation and their empathy with international organizations and, you know, all this kind of gobbledygook.
Again, that decline, oh, America's not that powerful. Look how powerful China is. It was because we weren't using a tenth of the power we had. We chose decline. And you couldn't really see it. I gotta be honest, I couldn't even see it till I saw Trump wielding power like he is in this hemisphere, in Iran, in the Strait of Hormuz, everywhere. And yeah, they're going to get that straightened out.
Well, it's like the Admiral Yamamoto said at the beginning of after Pearl Harbor that the Japanese emperor may have awoken a sleeping giant. And that's exactly what happened. And this is what happened when, you know, Donald Trump is elected and we have these problems that Democrat, progressive, globalist liberals have been talking about and said the issues they wanted to be resolved for years and years and years. And then Trump does something about it and suddenly they don't like it, even though he's achieving what it is they said they wanted.
He's doing things I didn't even know that you could do. I mean, hello, ABC 123 Obvious. All these years we've talked about having, you know, Cuba you know, right off our coast, what a danger that is, you know, tactically for us and their partnerships with China and Venezuela and Russia. And Trump's like, oh, I'll just cut off the oil. The lights will go out. And he did.
Yep. And
I didn't even know Mexico was supplying them with oil. Yeah. I didn't even know that.
Well, and now the Cubans are unofficially in discussions with the U.S. about coming to some agreement.
And you got to love how Cuba's calling up the White House. Now, like, oh, yeah, you know what? Actually, no, we think about it. We're not communists. We love business. Hey, do you want to come here and open your businesses? We'll help you do that. Please don't kill us in a hail of smoke like the Iranian leadership. If you must, we prefer the Maduro option. Or maybe we could just open up the island. Yeah. Hey, we want to talk. Please, please call us back.
That's probably the more likely thing, because a lot of folks have pointed out the Maduro option in Venezuela, at least in Venezuela, you had a history of elections. They were fraudulent many times, but there were other parties. In Cuba, you don't have the same situation because you've had the Castro regime over that since, when was it, 57, 58, 59, when the original Castro regime got in there. And there has been no history of, you know, democratically elected presidents or leaders or representation. It has been the communist socialist dictatorship that they've had all this time. So, you know, at least in Venezuela, you have the pretension of some of those institutions there and some sharing of power. But I'm not saying this in criticism. I think that what the Trump administration is doing is great and is good and is something that, once again, something we've been talking about for decades needs to be done. And now it is being done.
And it makes you wonder, what other leaders, like levers of power do we have?
Yes.
That I didn't even know we had. I'm learning so many things watching Trump masterfully do this.
Well, he is, when you are under the political gun, as he is, to get things done ahead of the midterms and ahead of the end of his presidency, I think that's why you're seeing the urgency here. And you're seeing him in basically saying, as the Tom Petty album says, damn the torpedoes, full speed ahead. And he's just going to go right ahead and do whatever he thinks has to be done to accomplish these goals. And these are goals that Republicans and Democrats for years have talked about, but never had the guts to do. And of course, you know, whether we're talking about the border, whether we're talking about, you know, our presence in South America or in Central America or what's going on in the Mideast, he's doing these things and just daring Democrats and federal judges to stop him. And of course, they're trying at every opportunity. I mean, good grief. I mean, how many lawsuits do we hear about every day against the Trump administration for taking some action, which for the most part is supported in polls by most Americans, but yet is opposed by any liberal progressive secularist that you can find in the Democrat Party or in the judiciary?
My gut says that the base, Trump's voters, love this. I keep hearing otherwise, and there are some, you know, overly amplified voices on X. And understandably, I play this with some trepidation since CNN's been wrong on literally everything they've reported about the war in Trump for the last week. I mean, like, embarrassingly wrong, right? But this is their pollster, Harry Enten, with some very bad news for people like Marjorie Taylor Greene, who say that MAGA is opposed to Trump's voters, basically. Opposed to this Iran war.
100%, 100%. If you are a member of MAGA and the GOP, you approve of Donald John Trump. 0% say that they disapprove. You don't have to be a mathematical genius to know you can't go higher than 100%. He is the 1972 Miami Dolphins.
They went 17-0.
Yeah.
Look, it's CNN, so, you know, who knows?
Yeah, and they may have some ulterior motive in doing that so that they can then say that Trump is losing support when only 90% of the Republicans are in favor of it.
Maybe that's what's coming. I don't know. I don't know.
But I get that feeling too, Tara, that in the people that I talk with, nobody's blinking an eye about this. Now, if we get to the situation where there have to be, you know, Marines go to Karg Island, we start taking some of these islands around the Strait of Hormuz, when there is boots on the ground, when there's conflict there, when there are American casualties on the ground, as sad as we are about those that have already occurred, both the injuries and the death so far, that has not been a negative so far for Trump support. But I just fear that if when we get to that point where it's going to get messy, that that's where you're going to see a little erosion. And like I said, that may be why CNN is sitting here saying, oh, 100% support from Republicans, so that then when it drops to 90 or 85 or 70%, that then they can say, well, see, Trump's losing support with his base.
Maybe. I don't know. But I thought it was interesting.
Yeah. And for them to actually go out there and say that, of course, their pollster is always telling them things they don't want to hear.
Yeah, that's why I like playing.
That is the one person who is doing some real news on CNN.
Yeah, well, him and Scott, Scott Jennings. Yeah, so meanwhile, I just want to wrap with this. CIA Chief John Ratcliffe, who we haven't heard much from since he was appointed, CIA Chief John Ratcliffe challenged in that committee hearing the other day with his Democrat talking point. We don't have any goals. We don't know what we're doing in Iran, and we have no end game. And John Ratcliffe explains the end game in 11.84 seconds.
Let's hear it.
Right off the top of his head. And this is so easy.
The defined goals are very clear. Degrade and destroy the missile inventory and drone inventory. Delay and degrade the military industrial base and factories that produce that.
Yeah.
And that is being accomplished. It is not 100%, but it is being accomplished. We are winning. There's no question about that. And there shouldn't be.
Unless you watch CNN.
Yeah.
In which case, then you don't know. You'd be better off, honestly, at this point, just watching Al Jazeera.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday brings you a new story. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
The panickans, the globalists, the ones freaking out. Donald Trump is alienating our allies. He should be nicer to them. But who are they? Well, you know, the people we've hung out with, palled around with since World War II and paid all their defense bills, a mere $465 billion in the last decade. Most of it printed and borrowed and put on the backs of our children, who are our friends that we would do this for. The same friends who won't give us one damn minesweeper to protect their own ships or help us do so in the Strait of Hormuz. Who are these people? We shouldn't alienate them. We're not going to have any friends left. You know, the old phrase, with friends like this, who needs enemies? Listen to this from Melanie Phillips, Sky News Australia. She reports, in a piece she wrote, shortly before the Iran war started, just weeks after the Iranian regime massacred tens of thousands of its own people protesting its tyranny, with the streets of Tehran reportedly running red with the blood of those who were ruthlessly gunned down by the regime's security goons, staff at Britain's Foreign Office actually attended a party at the Iranian embassy in London to celebrate the revolution that had brought these monsters to power. Folks, this is just a couple of weeks after the massacre. Who appoints these people at the British Foreign Office? Well, that'd be the party of the Prime Minister and the Prime Minister himself. He nominates them. This is who they are. Partying it up to celebrate the foundation of the regime, the founding of the regime, I should say, in 1979, just weeks after the streets ran red with blood. If you've seen the pictures on X, they're horrific. Bodies stacked 4 or 5 feet high, as far as the eye can see. This is who our allies are, folks. We don't need these people. We don't. She then quotes the Telegraph story as smartly dressed guests, including the UK civil servants, gathered at the London event to celebrate. Again, just weeks after the massacre, on the streets of Tehran, embassy officials hailed Iran's remarkable accomplishments in spite of unjust Western sanctions. Video footage shows attendees standing in silence for a, get this, rendition of Iran's national anthem. What do I tell you all the time about these people? If this is how, who are these people? This is the global left. This is the Democrats, Keir Starmer's party, all of them. If this massacre was in America, do you think that their actions would be any different if the right people were dying or the wrong people were dying and the right people were killing them? They wouldn't. It's who they are. We just don't usually get to see it. They think they're behind closed doors. A large banner can be seen adorned with pictures of Ali Khamenei, the former Iranian supreme leader who was later killed by U.S. or Israeli strikes, and Ruhollah Khomeini, his predecessor. The attendance of the Foreign Office, this is the UK Foreign Office staff, at the embassy event, again, just weeks after the massacre of tens of thousands by the Iranians, as well as unnamed representatives from the UK Parliament, was hailed by Iranian state media. It's not known how many government officials took part. Folks, do you know what? This was the same confab that the CNN bureau chief went to, too. And he's seen partying with Iranian leaders who were present. Again, weeks after the slaughter. Smiles on their faces. The totalitarians, all of them. We have nothing in common with these people anymore. Who cares what they think? That officials thought it appropriate to celebrate the Iranian Islamic Revolution speaks volumes about the strange topsy-turvy morality of the Foreign Office and of the Labour Party itself. That's Keir Starmer's party, the prime minister. You know, the one looking down his snooty nose at Trump as the liberal mainstream media here panics because Keir Starmer might not like us anymore. The Foreign Office, an institution increasingly unsure who Britain's friends and enemies actually are. Israel is treated with a forensic level of scrutiny that few other states receive, while the behavior of its adversaries, i.e. Iran, is frequently contextualized, rationalized, excused, or ignored. Well, it was only 32,000 dead people. Take the long list of recent retired senior Foreign Office signatories to a letter last year calling for immediate recognition of the Palestinian state in the face of strenuous U.S. objections. The Islamic Republic has been waging undeclared war on the West for nearly 47 years, promoting death to America, a message that applies equally to Little Satan, the UK. Iran still refuses to withdraw the fatwa against Salman Rushdie. And they go on and on and on. It's mystifying that Sir Keir Starmer, having promised in opposition to prescribe the IRGC, still hasn't done it, in other words, punished them, even after the EU has. We've had many terror plots in the UK, often against Jewish targets and often sponsored by Iran. Who exactly needs to get killed before we take decisive action, folks? This is who these people are. Remember when CNN last week was challenged, like, what were you guys doing partying with the Iranian leadership in London just weeks after all those people were killed by the Iranian leadership? And they said, oh, yeah, well, you know, he's a CNN bureau chief, so he's doing news things. So the internet checked. Did he do news things? Did he file a report? No. No, he didn't. He didn't file a report. He wrote one on Ukraine. Never mentioned he was there. Didn't cover it. He was there because he's a fellow traveler. They're totalitarians. And here's the worst part. They think they are allies of the mullahs, of the Iranian regime. They think that. With their little pride flags. They'd be flung off the side of that building so fast your head would spin. Or preferably, not my preference, but the Iranian leadership hung from a crane. That's the problem with the left. They're delusional. They think they can shovel $100 billion, Joe Biden, at these people. And when they nuke up, they just won't hit us. Because they'll remember their friends, the Democrats. It's not how it works in Islam. Wish it was, but it's not. But I spent so much time on this because I want you to know when people say we're alienating our ally, who cares? Who cares? You mean the people that have not contributed a single minesweeper? You mean those people?
More NATO allies who rely on Middle Eastern oil refusing to help secure Middle Eastern oil in the Strait of Hormuz.
We're not party to the conflict, and therefore France will never take part in operations to open or liberate the Strait of Hormuz.
In the meantime, President Trump criticizing sharply NATO allies for not doing enough in the war against Iran. Here's the president.
Well, we don't need too much help, and we don't need any help, actually. We've wiped out their navy, wiped out their military in every aspect. Their air force is now decimated. They have no air force, no navy. I think NATO's making a very foolish mistake. And I've long said that, you know,
it's
I
not
wonder
a mistake.
Whether or not.
These are the people who partied weeks after the 32,000 were massacred with the people who killed them at the UK embassy. That's who these people are. That's who the global left is. And believe me, they'd have had the same party if it was 32,000 Trump supporters in the street dead. Trust me on that. When they show you who they are, believe them and adjust your strategy. This ain't 1959, guys.
With the new year upon us, there's no better time to take control of your finances. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.
Haven't felt right since the election.
I think they're exaggerating the fears of a Donald Trump presidency.
Do you often feel the urge to burn something down?
In their protest,
firework
becomes the very thing that they're protesting against.
Flares, rocks, bottles, were thrown.
Or slap people you don't even know because they don't think like you.
If you've never felt like this before, but do now.
I think they're exaggerating the fears of a Donald Trump presidency.
Trump utter derangement syndrome, or TERDS. TERDS.
Who's got TERDS? According to Democrat, for now, Senator John Fetterman, his entire party. He was asked, who is the leader of the Democrat Party? Here is his answer.
I think the TDS, that, I think that's the leader right now. You know, right now our party is governed by the TDS. And now it's made it virtually impossible without being punished as a Democrat to agree something's good. Or I agree with the other side.
Headline, CIA Director John Ratcliffe saying Iran was close to being able to mount a nuclear weapon on a ballistic missile. I believe him. I believe Ratcliffe. I've been following him for years. He says that I got it. Folks, I want to read you this piece by Eric Erickson. It's brilliant and tragic and sad. Yeah, I used to be a host on this station. Iran deploys its most powerful weapon. 3 weeks into a military engagement in Iran, a war Republicans will not call a war. We shouldn't, because we don't have troops on the ground. This is a bombing. This is a bombing run is what it is. It's a conflict. It's not a war. Might turn into one, but it's not now. Although who will be fighting exactly, I do not know. 3 weeks into a, because they're dead. 3 weeks into a military engagement in Iran, a war Republicans will not call a war. The American and Israeli militaries have all but wiped out Iran's capacity to make war. We have killed their leadership, the replacement leaders, the militia members on the ground. We have destroyed their missile launchers in the factories in which they made the missiles. But Iran still has one of the most powerful weapons in the world on its side, and it is ruthlessly deploying it. The American Press Corps. Quote, families mourn as dead are laid to rest in Tehran, blared the front page above the fold headline in the Athens Banner Herald in Athens, Georgia. Beneath the headline, a grieving mother dressed fully in black held a black framed portrait of her dead son with a black band across the portrait. Her son was in a military uniform. She's gripping a tree for support. Any mother's heart just skips a beat seeing that. They know what to run. Families mourn as dead or laid to rest in Tehran, blared the front page above the fold headline in the Athens Banner. The Detroit News ran another picture of the same mother with the same story. Marzia Rezai reacts while standing near the grave of her son, Irfan, who was killed in strikes amid the U.S.-Israeli conflict with Iran at Beshat-e-Zahra Cemetery in Tehran. Reuters, this is March 16th is the date. Reuters, the wire service, got credit for both pictures in the underlying story. The Detroit News, the Athens Banner Herald, and the other news outlets featuring the dead Iranian soldier whose picture is held in the arms of his mom, ran no front page stories with the names and faces of the 35,000 Iranian citizens that Irfan Shameh, the dead soldier in the picture, would have been complicit in killing. When Iranian protesters took the streets in January, the Iranian regime opened fire on them. Outside, observers claim up to 150,000 would have been wounded and many killed. Iran itself claims 35,000 killed. Folks, I'm following up here on the last segment. Who are our allies and who are the global left. And we pointed this out, how they just the silence in the killing of the 35,000 at the time, it was before the Iran war began. I mean, it was amazing. It was just not an issue. Nobody was talking about it in the mainstream media. They were talking about it on Fox News, to their credit. We were talking about it here. They weren't talking about it. Why? Because they relate to, identify with, to use one of their popular phrases, the totalitarian dictatorship, because that's how they see themselves. And it's what they fund. It's what they build. $200 billion from Obama and Biden built that regime, according to the RAND Corporation, which says without that money transferred, they couldn't have stayed in power. They were barely holding on as it was against the street protests. They never ran a single article about the deaths of the 35,000. But if one of those who killed them is killed, we get the grieving mother with the photo of him. Eric Erickson continues, in Tehran, the regime punished two nurses who had aided the wounded by letting men gang rape them. Let me read that again. In Tehran, the regime punished two nurses who had aided the wounded by letting men gang rape them. They were so severely raped that their uteruses had to be removed. The Athens Banner Herald did not cover that, but a dead regime soldier killed by American and Israeli airstrikes warranted front page news coverage in newspapers across America. The American press claims it's just asking questions, which is the same line used by the anti-Semitic conspiracy theorist online, also rooting against the United States and Israel. The press should hold officials accountable, but they are desperate for the American military to fail because they really do not want Donald Trump to succeed. For over a decade, the American press has built up a repository of conventional wisdom that Donald Trump keeps defying. Moving the American embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem would destabilize the region and lead to war. It did not. Killing Qassem Soleimani, the guy solely responsible as the head of Quds Force for the murder of 603 Americans, and the number wounded by their IEDs is still classified. We don't know. It's probably hundreds. It did not. Killing Qassem Soleimani would lead to war. It did not. Now the press is left to assure us that American and Israeli military are killing all the moderate Iranian leaders, and only the hardliners will be left, which will lead to forever war. What a joke. What a joke. Only in the newsroom of America could a leadership that killed 35,000 of its citizens, hangs gay men by cranes, and gang rapes nurses rendering aid be considered moderate. Folks, and when they show you who they are, ask what would they do here if they had power. And I'm not talking about the mullahs. I'm talking about their friends, the Democrat Party, who kept them entrenched for so long. Well, this is absolutely brilliant. Treasury Secretary just announcing plans to use Iran's own oil against them. And that's against the regime, obviously, not against the people in the street. The strategy, unsanctioned 140 million Iranian barrels already on the water and unleashed 10 to 14 days of supply. Scott Bessent explains what that could do just now with Maria Bartiromo.
This is a coordinated effort. We had a break the glass plan across the administration and at Treasury. We unsanctioned Russian oil. We knew that there were about 130 million barrels on the water, and we created supply that is beyond the Straits of Hormuz. So we anticipated this. We knew that there could be a temporary, and I want to emphasize temporary, choke point there. And there was 130 million barrels of floating storage. In the coming days, we may unsanction the Iranian oil that's on the water. It's about 140 million barrels. So depending on how you count it, that's 10 days to 2 weeks of supply that the Iranians had been pushing out. That would have all gone to China. In essence, we will be using the Iranian barrels against the Iranians to keep the price down for the next 10 or 14 days as we continue this campaign. So yeah. we have lots of levers. We've got plenty more that we can do. The largest coordinated SPR release in history, 400 million barrels, was approved last week. And some countries are going to do more. The U.S. could unilaterally do another SPR release to keep the price down. As you will have noted, WTI and its European counterpart, Brent, have substantially diverged over the past few trading sessions. You know, they were trading right on top of each other last week. And this is because the U.S., thanks to President Trump in his first term, the continuing efforts here, is virtually energy independent. Yeah. And you know, when President Trump says our allies should join us in a coalition along the Straits of Hormuz, that you know, they're the ones who need this oil. The U.S., you know, we're an oil exporter.
Brilliant. Took the sanctions off the Russia oil. That's a 10 to 14 day supply. A staggering, I think he said, 14 million barrels were on the water. You know what that means? Right now with the sanctions, because it's backed up. Normally they sell 2 to 3 you know, million barrels a day. With the sanctions, they can't sell it for more than 60. This will get them full market price. It'll put the oil back on. And now they're saying, hey, listen, we didn't blow up the Iranian oil. Let's sell it. Let's sell it. That's fantastic. What a great, what if we could permanently put the Iranian oil back on the market? Selling it for dollars, of course. You know what the Russian oil is going to be sold for too, right? Dollars. That's the deal. You know what the Venezuelan oil is being sold for right now? That'd be dollars. China had been allowed to use its own currency before. What is all this doing? It's shoring up the dollar. During a time when we desperately need to shore up the dollar because Congress prints like a bunch of drunken sailors, both parties. And then Trump gets the blame. So, yeah. Wow. What a great idea. In fact, we should make that permanent. I don't want to keep the money from the oil, but I want it sold for dollars. And this is oil, again, that because of the sanctions was kept off the market. Folks, this is what the Democrats did. And it was so bad. They'd collect all the sanction money and then turn it over to Iran, giving China a discount. So they got China discount. Iran got the oil money. And then, as I said yesterday on the Battleground podcast, Iran and China turn around and hack boards of elections in America to help the Democrats steal elections. It was a nice little criminal operation, but it's over now. Have a great rest of the day.
It is not hard to destroy a college. Last season, the podcast Campus Files brought you stories of fraternity drug rings, stolen body parts, campus cults, and more.
And now Campus Files is back for another season.
There's a guy screaming into his phone. He's like, I just saw Charlie Kirk get assassinated right in front of me.
Every week is a new episode and a new story.
It was so chaotic.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.